After having discredited them, weakened them, and created divisions among them, Evo Morales began the process to open a dialogue with the indigenous communities from the lowlands who are marching towards La Paz, demanding respect for their right to consultation and full autonomy. At approximately 6 o'clock in the morning of the 26th of June, Roberto Fernandez, ex-candidate for mayor of Santa Cruz for the Movement to Socialism Party, the MAS Party, arrived at the site where a contingent of protesters had spent the night in order to deliver them a letter from the Minister of Autonomy, Carlos Romero. The letter dealt with the government's proposal in response to the requests of the Bolivian Confederation of Indigenous Peoples, principally regarding the issue of autonomy. The letter also invited them to enter into discussions on that same afternoon at 4 o'clock p.m. in the city of Santa Cruz. The president of the Confederation of Indigenous Peoples of Bolivia, Adolfo Chavez, announced that the protesters would meet for the purpose of evaluating the governmental proposal and would present a counter-proposal to the delegate of the executive branch. Nonetheless, he foresaw that the discussions should take place at the site of the protest so that the indigenous leaders would not have to go to the capital of Santa Cruz. The chancellor, David Choquehuanca, visited the members of parliament representing indigenous constituencies that had commenced a hunger strike the previous night in support of the march organized by the Bolivian Confederation of Indigenous Peoples and in protest of the decision made by the MAS parliamentary group to ignore their requests. "We have exchanged views. I have come to listen to the concerns of our indigenous brothers, and I will pass them on to the president so that he may initiate a dialogue," stated the leader of the Bolivian diplomatic corps, to whom indigenous members of parliament had presented their comments on the draft electoral regime law. Meanwhile, the member of parliament, Pedro Nuni, affirmed that the 6 members of parliament that had commenced a hunger strike the previous evening would continue with this extreme measure until the governing authorities addressed the demands of the protesters and the group of indigenous parliamentary members. As part of the changes to be made to the Bolivian state structure to increase the representation of the lowlands and highlands communities, the indigenous members of parliament are demanding that the number of special seats in the Legislative Assembly, National Congress, be increased from 7 to 18. They also point out that the draft electoral regime law, passed on June 26th by a majority in the Chamber of Deputies, restricts the right to consultation and participation of the original indigenous peoples and peasant communities in extraction projects. The members of parliament representing indigenous communities reiterated once again their position that the ministers of presidency and for autonomy, Oscar Coca and Carlos Romero respectively, should publicly retract their accusations that the indigenous movement was being financed by the United States Agency for International Development, USAID. President Evo Morales enacted a regulatory law that restricts the right of indigenous communities to be consulted or informed by the state prior to any exploitation of natural resources on their land. The MAS government considers prior consultation to be a waste of time and an obstacle that impedes the accelerated growth in the mining and hydrocarbon industries, the pillars of the National Development Plan. However, the plurinational state of Bolivia adopts a form of government which is democratic, participative, representative, and community. Article 11 of the Constitution of Bolivia establishes that direct and participative democracy is exercised by means of referendums, popular legislative initiatives, revocation of mandate, deliberative assemblies, and councils, and the prior consultations of indigenous peoples and communities with respect to the exploitation of natural resources on their land. Article 30 of the Constitution recognizes the right of original indigenous peoples and peasant communities to be consulted through appropriate means and particularly through their institutions each time a legislative or administrative measure is considered that could possibly affect them. In addition to being a right that the state is obliged to respect and guarantee, the Magna Carta establishes that the prior consultation of original indigenous peoples and peasant communities is a mandatory procedure as a condition for the exploitation of non-renewable natural resources. As stated in Article 352, before beginning any extraction project, the state must, in good faith and in cooperation with interested parties, organize a free and informed prior consultation on the land inhabited by the affected parties and respectful of their own norms and procedures. Article 304 of the Constitution specifies that participation in and development and execution of consultation mechanisms relating to the application of legislative, executive, and administrative measures that affect them are the exclusive jurisdiction of original indigenous peoples and peasant communities. In summary, the right to prior consultation in a direct and participative democracy is very different from the right to political participation of a community democracy of indigenous communities by means of election, appointment, or nomination of authorities and representatives pursuant to the community's own norms and procedures as outlined in Article 11. With this understanding, the Magna Carta establishes clearly that the electoral authority will supervise the electoral procedures of original indigenous peoples and peasant communities relating to community democracy, election, appointment, and nomination of representatives in accordance with Article 26, if and only if they are not subject to equal, universal, direct, secret, free, and mandatory voting, and otherwise will, according to Article 211, ensure the strict compliance with the norms and procedures of the original indigenous peoples and peasant communities. Nevertheless, these constitutional principles have been weakened by the law of the Plurinational Electoral Authority that was approved on June 15, 2010 by the Senate of the National Congress of Bolivia and enacted the following day, June 16, by President Morales. Article 6 of the new electoral law states that the jurisdiction of the Plurinational Electoral Authority includes the supervision of prior consultation processes and the observation and support of community assemblies and councils. Moreover, according to Articles 38 and 39, the departmental electoral tribunals, under the regulations of the Supreme Electoral Tribunal, have the obligation to present reports based on their supervision of the processes of prior consultation and observation and support of community assemblies and councils. The problem with Evo Morales's government is that it has decided to give in to the pressure exercised by Repsol Bolivia and other multinationals present in the region of the Bolivian Chaco because of the need to maintain and increase the production of gas, which has been suffering from investment delays for more than 4 years. The source of these delays have nothing to do with the indigenous communities from the north of La Paz, who are accused of having been financed by USAID, and this is simply because the gas production is located in the area of the Chaco, where there are only indigenous Guarani communities, especially in the original community territory Itikaguasu, which has been in a long conflict with the government and the multinationals since at least 2007. The delay in petroleum investments, and consequently in the industrialization of gas, basically began with the collapse of the functional structure of the state-owned YPFB oil company, which was in turn caused by the arrest of its president, Santos Ramirez, and also a number of the company's senior management in a corruption case. Santos Ramirez, Evo Morales's successor designate with the MAS, was charged with the assassination of Jorge O'Connor in January 2009. And for his involvement in a financial operation that allowed him to steal approximately $26 million, which accusations are still under preliminary investigation. This is simply an attempt to deny legal recognition to the original community territories where there exist gas or petroleum resources, and to authorize YPFB Oil Company to engage in pure and simple expropriation of indigenous lands and to limit the rights of way, or rather the communication routes, which the multinational oil companies consider necessary for the exploitation operations, without consideration of the interests of the indigenous peoples and or of even minimal preventative measures for the protection of the environment. There is a general opinion within the mass, especially in the Ministry of Hydrocarbons and the management of the YPFB oil company, according to which the right to prior consultation of indigenous communities should be eliminated. The true intention is to eliminate any obstacle that may limit the activities of the multinationals. This is a case of deregulation of the sector that would allow the multinationals direct intervention through the non-regulated control of YPFB. In a letter presented to President Evo Morales, the Assembly of the Guarani people of Itikaguasu stated that on April 28, 2010, they received a letter from the YPFB oil company in which they were officially informed that this company did not recognize them legally and that the problems with oil companies were unilateral, pertaining only to the private sector. In other words, that YPFB would not offer the Assembly of the Guarani people of Itikaguasu any cooperation or legal or operational assistance within the framework of the licenses and contracts of operation currently in effect in the original community territory, Itikaguasu. This policy was reinforced by a refusal to legally register the ownership of the original community territory, as this prevented consolidation in legal terms of the community property of the original community territory, property which, in many cases, has been recognized since the enactment of the Agrarian Reform Law in 1951. Since then, there has been a gradual recognition of occupying landowners who were authorized by the National Institute of Agrarian Reform to register land in their name. In this way, the extent of the original lands within many original community territories has been reduced de facto by more than 40%, notwithstanding that none of the land registrations have complied with the conditions stipulated in Bolivian law since 1951. In reality, this is a process of deliberate destruction of the original community territories, reinforced by the refusal to legally recognize the communities who live in them. In their letter to President Morales, the Assembly of the Guarani people of Itikaguasu also reported that in 2007 they were victims of an attempt of fraud by Repsol Spain, which they had communicated at the time to the Minister of Hydrocarbons and the Vice President of the Plurinational State, but that neither of them had deigned to reply to the demands of the 36 indigenous communities which make up the Assembly of the Guarani people of Itikaguasu. Indeed, the exploitation operations, in the normal but completely illegal way, continued. In the same letter, the Assembly explained that there had been another failed attempt at negotiation by the YPF oil company personnel, who appeared as representatives of Repsol YPF E&P Bolivia, notwithstanding that as of the date of the Assembly's letter, they had not produced any powers of attorney to evidence such representation, despite a request to do so by the Assembly's legal department. Nor had they ever produced a legally reliable response in writing. This fact provoked a harsh response from the Assembly to Repsol YPF E&P Bolivia last June 12, 2010, in which, among other issues, the indigenous organization declared, "A negotiation takes place between two parties that have independent and separate legal personalities, and therefore it must scrupulously respect the principle of legal equality between the parties. The agreement proposal that you have prepared for us violates this principle and submits our organization to a form of legal guardianship not envisaged by law nor by custom and which we would consider racist." Although Repsol YPF E&P Bolivia has not until now responded to the aforementioned letter, it notified the Assembly on July 16, 2010, that two employees had been granted powers of attorney which, according to the Assembly spokesperson, have been sent to an expert for verification since there are reasonable doubts as to whether they comply with the principles of good faith and legality. This is the first appointment as regards the negotiations with the Itikaguasu Assembly carried out by Repsol YPF E&P Bolivia since Repsol España began activities in Bolivia, and it may represent progress provided always that the company acts according to the principle of good faith, given that, until now, this has not always been the case. The company granted powers of attorney to Mauricio Mariaca Alvarez and Elizabeth Betty Abet Illescas, Although the assembly spokesperson explains that, to his surprise, these individuals have very limited powers, given that it is Roberto Alfredo Dominguez who appears as the legal representative of Repsol YPF E&P Bolivia, and who would have to give prior and express authorization to any agreement or contract. This is the reason why the Assembly of the Guarani people of Iticaguasu decided to investigate whether these powers are acceptable for the indigenous organization independently of their legal effect. The problem of the Iticaguasu Assembly is a result of the existence of the megafield Margarita on their land, and because of this, the multinational companies and the Bolivian government have decided not to recognize them legally and not to grant them any kind of benefit. These communities are merely subsisting without even minimal sanitation services, a situation which will condemn them to extinction within a period of 10 to 15 years. In addition to the Amendment 2 and the limitation of the right to consultation by means of the blatantly irregular electoral law, the draft amendment of the Law 3058, in its second version of November 2009, goes much further in the pursuit of the practical elimination of the right to consultation, and even guarantees the Bolivian state-owned oil company the right to expropriation. This bill eliminates from the hydrocarbons law the recognition of the original community territories, and even facilitates the non-recognition in law of the indigenous communities directly affected. The aim of the employees of the Ministry of Hydrocarbons and the YPFB Oil Company is to reach general agreements without any practical application with national associations, such as the National Indigenous Peoples Assembly, thereby ignoring the communities who own the relevant ancestral lands and avoiding any specific discussions regarding the indigenous rights. The proposed amendment to the hydrocarbons law, as it stands now in the draft of the Ministry of Hydrocarbons, would create an obvious reversal in the indigenous rights, which up until now have been merely declaratory without any practical application. The staff of the YPFB, led by Carlos Villegas, eminent theorist of deregulation in this sector, do not bear in mind that the neoliberal amendments of the hydrocarbons law cannot be applied retroactively, for which reason the legal conflict in the long term does not have a solution, given that the non-compliance with the applicable law and the regulation by the multinational companies, the government, and YPFB, insofar as it concerns the indigenous communities, has been continuous and systematic in all operations of gas exploration. The government is attempting to exploit hydrocarbons in the north of La Paz for the purpose of making money and building roads generating petrochemicals, industry, improving the health and education of the people. But certain NGOs are stirring up the indigenous communities of the region and are blocking the progress of the country, using as an excuse the protection of the environment, complained the Vice President Alvaro Garcia Linero a few days ago. According to the Vice Minister of Governmental Coordination, Wilfredo Chavez, the indigenous leaders block extraction projects because of the European and American NGOs with dubious interests. The international right wing headed by the US and its operating agencies infiltrate into social organizations in order to generate forces to destabilize Bolivia's democracy, President Morales reported last Saturday. The right to prior consultation, recognized by international treaties and by the Magna Carta, is absolutely guaranteed by the state. Nonetheless, this right has been wrongly interpreted and must be regulated by law, stated the Vice Minister Chavez during an interview with Erbol. Because of bad management of the consultation issue, those channels must be closed, and in their place, a procedure of prior consultation for the peoples will be established on the basis of a community democracy, explained Chavez. Article 25 of the new electoral law establishes that it is the competence of the Supreme Electoral Tribunal to register, by direct consultation, the norms and procedures of the original indigenous peoples and peasant communities, and to verify the respect for the principle of equivalency and the criteria of equality and alternance between men and women. Therefore, as of now, indigenous communities must report on the mandatory process of prior consultation so that this process becomes verified and legalized by the law of the plurinational electoral branch. pursuant to Article 4 of the Electoral Law, a principle of mandatory compliance that governs the nature, organization, and functioning of the plurinational electoral branch is interculturality, defined as the recognition, expression, and coexistence of cultural, institutional, regulatory, and linguistic diversity, and the exercise of individual and collective rights guaranteed by the Constitution as part of a society based on respect and equality between everyone to live well. This principle makes reference to the respectful integration between cultures such that no cultural group prevails over others, promoting at all times the integration and coexistence between cultures. Chavez announced that in the processes of prior consultation, the rights of the state as guaranteed by the Constitution would certainly be taken into consideration. This means that while indigenous rights will be recognized and respected, the rights of the society and economic interests of the state will take preference. Additional information about the situation of human rights in Bolivia can be found on the page dedicated to this country on Equipo Niscor's document website. This program has been brought to you with information from news agencies Herbol and Bolpress of La Paz, Bolivia, along with information coming directly from the Assembly of the Guarani People of Iticaguasu, from Entre Rios, Bolivia and Chaco, and have been produced in our studios in Belgium on November 9th, 2010.